Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Up with a $5 biggie bag today, live from Music City Autoplex, musiccityautoplex.com. Austin Price is here. We know it from the music. Austin Price, VaultQuest.com. Time to get the VaultQuest report at Austin Priceless on Twitter. Austin, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are excellent. Austin Price, presented by The Holistic Connection, online at TheHolisticConnectionTN.com. So as you are asked to make your prediction at VaultQuest.com for Tennessee and Alabama, did you go over or under the spread?
I went under. I think I picked 48-17. I picked
the 31. Right around that, though. I feel like all the predictions are coming in right around that. You guys are pretty much in line with what Vegas thinks about this game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it takes Tennessee coming in playing well, but it also takes Alabama coming out flat. I mean, really flat for Tennessee to stay within a reasonable puncher's shot in this game. I know the Tennessee fans looked at the South Carolina game with Georgia last week as kind of a benchmark on, you know, how they could pull the upset this week. But Georgia, you know, they didn't play great against Tennessee. Tennessee just, you know, was not very good that day in a lot of areas. And so Georgia, you could kind of see that they weren't playing their best football. Alabama's been playing pretty good, even though their defense isn't what it normally is. Their offense is maybe the best we've ever seen. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow night. But, you know, hey. The weather can be a great equalizer. They've been calling for rain all week. You never know if that actually does happen, but if it does happen, you know, it can change things.
Now, there's been some success stories under Jeremy Pruitt with individual players maybe outperforming or looking better than as they came in. But there's also been some mysteries on this roster. The biggest mystery to me is J.J. Peterson. With all of the problems at inside linebacker, how is the guy who was the highest-rated recruit in his first class still not ready to be a big contributor at linebacker?
You know, you're right. That's a mystery. You know, and I had a couple of people yesterday tell me, you know, J.J. has had a really good last couple of weeks. He's been, you know, really trying, you know, really, you know, starting to have things click for him. Now, does that translate to Saturday night at 9 o'clock? Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. But I do know the staff feels like that he's at least taken some steps in the right direction the last couple of weeks. And it's one of those things where not everybody's ready mentally, you know, when they first get here. Obviously, he was well out of shape a year ago when he got here. He's now in better shape, but mentally seems to still be struggling to pick up everything that entails playing linebacker in Jeremy Pruitt's system. So, until he does that, it's hard to see him being a real factor.
Alabama just kills people across the middle with those wide receivers, and they've killed everyone across the middle. Tennessee's been very susceptible to the passes across the middle, especially with Henry To'oTo'o out there, who's been really bad, quite frankly, in pass coverage. And he's having a good freshman year. And I know that Daniel Batuli said that Quavarius Crouch will know where to go because before every snap, I'm going to tell him exactly what his assignment is. Is there a chance that Crouch is maybe a little bit better than To'oTo'o when it comes to covering receivers in the middle of the field? Because he hasn't been very good at that this year.
Well, I think both those guys have kind of struggled in that area. You know, Hughes' biggest thing is he's been playing outside, and all of a sudden they chipped him back inside. And I get they always say, oh, yeah, they can play easy in his positions. But, I mean, like, when you're a freshman, I think, you know, it always behooved Trey Smith when he was a freshman to set their right guard. Now, he moved out to tackle there those last couple of games in 2017, but for the most part, he was that right guard all year, and I think it really helped him. He knew what to focus on. He knew where to play. That's why they never really wanted to bounce Drew Richmond around. I think when you bounce around when you're a young kid, it hurts sometimes because you kind of get, you know, your assignment mixed up because you're playing two different positions. And so I think that Alabama will exploit that a lot I asked this question on our podcast. Guys, would you play Henry? If it's 28-3 at the halftime and Henry's eligible to come back in the second half, would you play him as thin as you are?
No.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I just don't think that it at the end of the day, you're not going to win this game unless, you know, some miracle happens. So, you know, get ready for South Carolina. Be healthy for South Carolina. That's as big as anything. Daryl Taylor got a little bit of a hurt hamstring. You know, how much does he go Saturday night? That's a big question to me. I think the ultimate thing is to be healthy for 4 o'clock at next Saturday in what, you know, is the biggest game to date now that they got past Mississippi State.
You've brought up an interesting idea here, Austin, in sort of the Joe Moorhead plan with those 8-game suspensions for the guys and some of his better players, where he strategically sits those guys against games he knows he can't win, against LSU and Alabama, and he played everyone against Tennessee in an SEC game that they thought that they could win going into it. How much care do you take as a coaching staff with a number of guys in this game? And let's go to the quarterback, Brian Maurer, who suffered a concussion. I know that he's been practicing, looks like he's ready to go, but how many risks do you take with him if you feel like he's the best option that could possibly get you to a bowl game with the games coming up after Alabama?
Well, it's a delicate line to walk. You know, I mean, you want to continue to progress as a program, Chad. You want to continue to compete the right way, to teach your kids how to compete the right way. But you also want to have guys healthy for those games that are, you know, 50-50 type games, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt, those league games that you know you've got to win, potentially get the 6, you know, you need those guys healthy. So it's a fine line to walk, where I think that Tennessee will probably play 2 quarterbacks Saturday. I think they're trying to shorten the game as best they can. And defensively, I think it'll be keep everybody in front of them. And if it's, Jesse Simonson always calls it death by paper cut. I mean, like, it'll be 7 yards, 7 yards, 7. It'll be an easy touchdown, but like Alabama will be forced to, you know, run some clock. It won't be a 64-yard pass and a 58-yard pass and an 83-yard pass. So, I think you do have to be creative to keep your guys healthy and have them be ready to go for next week.
Austin, what are some of the bullet point headlines on the recruiting trail this week, coming off of that win against Mississippi State and now heading into the middle of October?
Well, Tennessee seems like they've made up a lot of ground with Octavius Oxendine, the defensive lineman from Radcliffe, Kentucky, just south of Louisville. Tennessee had all the momentum there in late spring, early summer. Then Kentucky kind of swung the momentum their way. Tennessee, I think, is got some of that momentum back coming off his official visit to Knoxville last weekend. The 3 Whitehaven kids, talking about Marion McDonald, Martavius French, Bryce Neeson, they'll go to Arkansas this weekend. Don't believe their families are going to go with them on the visit. Of course, that could change, but that's the last thing I heard. I think that's good news if you're Tennessee, because to me, like, you know, those moms and dads will have a big influence on, you know, what the decisions those kids make. If they don't go, obviously, that helps them all. Ultimately, I think last weekend was really good for Tennessee because it, you know, showed some progress to get 7 sacks in front of guys like Jay Hardy and Tyler Barron, a defensive lineman that you really covet in this class. It's huge. And, to do it in front of Harrison Bailey and get a win, also, I think, very, very big for Tennessee.
One quick basketball recruiting question for you. What's going on with Jaden Springer? I know there were some thoughts he was going to announce maybe even on ESPN this week, but that didn't happen. Does Tennessee still like where they stand with him?
Tennessee is a great spot with Jaden Springer. I think it just boils down to when ESPN can give him a time to be able to pull the trigger. I think that's kind of we're in a holding pattern until ESPN says, okay, we've got a slot at 3:50 today. You can do it then. Then I think Jaden Springer will announce his decision. And again, I think Tennessee's in a really good spot.
ESPN finding a way to screw the Vols once again. They always find a way. Let's wait around until that TV window opens up, and let's give them ample time to decide to go somewhere else. I'm kidding, of course. Austin, thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Austin Price, presented by the Holistic Connection, TN.com.